Well, good morning, everyone.
Hi, what are you up to?
Oh, I'm just sitting here.
On the Group W bench?
On the Group W bench. Nah, I just, I if I start to sound a bit like Margot Kidder. Because my allergies are playing havoc with me. So
I know exactly the raspiness you speak of.
Right,
I just dialed it right in for me. Thanks for the Margot Kidder. That yeah. It really a picture really is worth a thousand words.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the Lobot Lounge. I am Joseph Fotinos, your host and emotional touchstone, and we're here in a very special episode of the Gentleman Nerds. Lobot Lounge is open for happy hour. It's a little empty, so we decided to spend some time playing with one of our favorite play toys, Lego. Yes, today's podcast is all about that wonderful, versatile building toy, Danish in origin, that anyone can play with and anyone can create just about anything your imagination throws wide. And we're not going to just talk about the toys, we're going to talk about the media, we're going to talk about the video games, we're going to talk about the movies, everything that makes Lego so wonderful. And as we do so, we are attempting to construct a life-size Aaron DiArrive Lego figure. All right, here working with me, of course, is Mark Finn.
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
Hey, here's those blue pieces you wanted.
Thank you. I need the slants for the roof.
Yes. And Mickey Finn.
Excuse my hobble and limping here. I stepped on some of them.
Oh, that's the worst.
No pain is like that. That's tremendous pain.
It's the geek shuriken, or not the geek shuriken. It's the geek caltrop, you know.
It not really Legos. Is. It's brilliant. Aaron DiArrive cannot be with us today, so we are constructing our life-size Lego Aaron, and to keep his spirit with us. So Aaron DiArrive is here in clickable, brickable spirit. I adore this construction toy. Ever since I was a kid, it was a presence in my world. Although, and this might be anathema based on the podcast, I never, as a kid, asked for Legos for Christmas or got Legos for birthday presents. It wasn't top of my list of toys.
Well, what do you guys? You were too busy getting all those cool action figures mentioned in episode 2 or 3 or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, the Migos, yeah.
Well, now that was the thing about the Legos is that I immediately saw their usefulness, right? You know, and this is back in the 70s when the cool Lego pieces were the green slanted roofs and the doors and the windows. And I took one look at this and said, I can make a castle. I can make fortifications for my army men. And so I immediately conscripted Lego into the larger, you know, picture, and my,
sorry about that.
Got that. Somebody tried to break into the lounge.
No,
it's Maximilian dealing with a,
I think so. I don't know what happened there. Maximilian will take care of it. Sorry about that.
Well, and so, you know, for me, I didn't ask for Legos, but as soon as I realized what they were, they became top of the list because I always needed more to make bigger castles. For me, it was always a question of scale, you know.
Oh, right.
King Kong can't destroy Metropolis if I don't build Metropolis first out of Lego, see?
Right. That's brilliant. And that's the best part. You can destroy them. They are meant to be put together, you know, solidly and yet taken apart with ease.
Yeah.
You can build something grand.
Theoretically taken apart with ease.
That's true. Right. They have these tools. You know, they sell these. They actually give them away at the Lego stores. And some of the kits come with them, these Lego removal tools. They're like green shoehorns, essentially, with the Lego, you know, bits on them.
That's amazing. Back in my day, we had to use our thumbnails.
Yeah, we hold it between our teeth and kind of wiggle it out, you know.
Hide it off. The dog.
Mickey, how about you? Any good Lego childhood memories?
Well, you know, I'm the original Lego hipster. I was, you know, more into Lincoln Logs. No. In college, I had a friend that was really into Legos. I'm sorry, a roommate that was really into Legos, and he left. He graduated, and accidentally forgot to take his Legos with him. And I didn't realize this until several years later, when I moved out of college and unpacked a box in my new apartment, and voila, huge bag of Legos.
Wow.
A huge orange bio-waste bag full of Legos.
What did your friend major in?
I don't know, actually.
I'm assuming it's something in the medical field since he had a bio-waste bag.
Oh, college. It was a wacky time. I remember as I got older, I really saw what Lego was at least initially attempting to transition into. They started this. The first thing I saw were these master builders, you know, and it was like car chassis with engines and things like that. And I looked at it, and my thought, which was really funny at the time, my thought was, well, that's limiting, you know. That makes something specific. If I want that, I'll build a model kit, right?
Right.
And it really wasn't until, I guess it was probably 15, 20 years ago when they started making these themed kits. And initially it was stuff that was kind of, I guess, concurrent with Playmobil. You know, you had police stations and police sets and stuff like that, but the licensing, as soon as the licensing really kicked in, that's when I realized, oh, we're not in Kansas anymore, you know, so to speak, and that's when things for me really got interesting. Now I was too old to ever buy them, but in my Uncle Monkey capacity, I always like sitting down with the Legos, you know. Here, we need to make you something here for this, and you know, I was called into assist, you know. That part was great.
I keep waiting for Nerf and Legos to get together, and you can, you know, build a castle and have siege weapons against it.
Well, Lego has a lot of firing weapons. They do. I mean, we'll talk about the Bionicles a little later on, but the idea behind the themes. Lego's been making their toys since 1949.
And when did IKEA start?
Oh goodness, I'm not sure. Just giant Lego, basically. I love the instructions too. Lego instructions, because they're all, you know, pictures. Put this here, put that there, and then there's always the image of a dog eating a Lego or a kid sticking it in their eye. Don't do this. but the themes, the very classic themes, include space, robots, pirates, trains, Vikings, they had Viking line, the castle line, the dinosaur line, the undersea world line, where they had little Lego sharks, and
eventually robotics.
Oh yes, the Tektric, Tektics, I think is what it's called, I can't remember what it's called. I never had them, obviously, because I wasn't an engineer, but some of them were really complex. The Wild West line, that was a lot of fun. But the theme, I got to go agree with Mark here. The themes made me excited about them, although the Lego purists out there would say, well, but that's, you can only build that. And my argument is, no, you can't. You can build anything you want. You could take that saloon door and put it on the back of some crazy creature you're making, and now you got wings. I mean, that's the idea about letting Lego pieces be their own thing, each individual.
You take the Dracula mobile and stick it in the Wild West stuff, and
right. Oh God,
you've got a gothic, you know, thingy. In
you've got Billy the Kid versus Dracula.
Yeah, easy. Yeah, easy peasy.
Hence all this, you know, Joe Lansdale and all the Austin, Texas weird stories where you start putting stuff together. That's how it was born. Well, that's not true, but I'm gonna go with that.
You know what? Actually, it might be true. I mean, when you're a kid and you've got a set of army men like Mark, and you've got Legos, and you've got Migos like I did, and you've got, you know, all the Micronauts or whatever, why not mix and match them? Why not build something and let the worlds interplay with each other? You know, talk about when I read my Marvel comics and there's a What If issue and Spider-Man is transported into the Old West. You see these Star Trek episodes all the time where the guy is beamed down on a planet and it's the 1930s in America, you know, in Chicago or whatever. Why not? You know, so yeah, I could take my Baron Karza Micronauts figure and go tromp through the Fantastic Four Baxter building and fight with the Thing.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Well, what if? What would happen if Baron Karza fought the Thing? What would happen if this Lego Western town was suddenly invaded by, oh, I don't know, the Kenner alien figure, you know?
Yeah, and that's as a kid, certainly in the 70s, you know, it was really a kind of an embarrassment of riches when it came to these kind of toys. But we were never well, I wasn't, and I know you guys weren't. I was never a loyalist when it came to that. You know, I came up with a dozen different reasons why the Migos and the G.I. Joes were not the same size. You know,
yeah.
and we just ran with that. You know, yeah. So I love one of the things that that really spoke to me was that, you know, ever since I have been kind of keeping an eye on the new themes that come out and the new expansions, you know, and all of that, it's exactly what Mickey said. You know, I look at stuff like the Ghost Wagon and think, you know, well, yeah, you could steampunk this. This could be a weird Western thing. Or
absolutely.
Or the Pirates, where they didn't do Pirates of the Caribbean, but they had a ghost ship in the Pirates thing, and you know, my first thought was, oh, you can take all those skeletons and you can move those over into the medieval land, and you know, it's genius, you know.
It's like Westworld, but with little tiny friendly bricks that don't kill you.
Well, and especially since they have done such a great job of developing the minifigures.
Yeah.
That was really where I think it the whole thing came to life, because finally you had something that was in scale with what they were building, and infinitely customizable. You know, I've seen all these other Legos where they basically would wipe off the existing face and paint a new one on, or you know, whatever, and
like pop figures.
Yeah, and now the minifigs have their own kind of level of complexity that people are collecting just those. You can just buy random, cool, weird series of minifigures that don't necessarily, some speak to existing theme sets, but a lot of them don't, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty fascinating.
And customizable, you mentioned years ago, my son and I went to a Lego convention here in Austin, Texas. And there were people selling these little tiny, tiny little and expensive customizable bits for your Lego minifigures. Hey, you want to make a Ellen Ripley minifigure? We got all the pieces you need. You want to make a Samus a minifigure from Metroid? Right here. Here's the armor. Here's her gun. I mean, literally specific types of molded plastic things that would fit into Lego figures' hands, and just outrageously detailed, but tiny, tiny, with backpacks and capes and helmets. And there's something so cool about having this minifig representation, but also a little silly, because you look at it and go, it's cute. Look at that Medusa. She's adorable.
Oh,
right?
She's super deformed. Yeah. Right? No?
When we get to the games later, they play up on that majorly.
Yes. But that, I think that's a lot of their charm, is you can't really – I mean, there's a little minifigure, Lego minifigure of Dr. Victor Von Doom, and you go – oh, look at that guy. He's adorable.
He's a widow, Dr. Doom.
You know, it's still Dr. Doom, but it's a little minifigure Dr. Doom. And it's a joyous thing.
Yeah. And for all of its complexity, for all of its simplicity, you can get really complex. I know some of the guys that host Brickfest, and they put together a display a couple of years ago when the World Fantasy Convention or the World Science Fiction Convention was in San Antonio, and what they built was basically an 8-10 foot long diorama of. And it was a very specific diorama of the Riverwalk, the area that we were in, and it included the Alamo, and this was all in Lego brick scale.
Yeah.
And what was significant about it, like, you're like, oh, that's really kind of cool, until you realize that they're being invaded by the Martians from the space thing, right? Because it's the World Science Fiction Convention.
Did they also have the haunted hotel next to it?
They had the Biltmore. They had several like key iconic buildings recreated in Lego bricks, mm-hmm. with the spaceships firing cones, tractor beams down and pulling people up. And in fact, outside of this, just outside, there was a field full of cows, and they had a Martian tripod levitating cows up into their spaceships as well. Yeah. And the Ghostbusters had pulled up on the other side, and so they had these. There were recognizable set pieces, but the detail that went into doing the Riverwalk, and it was at depth, you know. So there was basically like three levels worth of Legos. There's the mm-hmm. aerial level, there was the ground level, and then there was the sub Riverwalk with a Riverwalk boat and people in the boat freaking out. It was, there's a point at which. No, there weren't sea monsters, but they were reacting to the Martians. And there's a point at which you go, my God, how far down the rabbit hole can you go with this stuff?
And how many hours of manpower and time did it take to do that? You know,
Yeah.
And there's always, like you said, it's something to see. It's always something to look at and get into the complexity of it. At that Lego convention we went to, one of the most astounding models that I saw that was on display was this gigantic diorama, like you described. It had to have been like an, I don't know, 8 by 10 foot table, but mm-hmm. it was a massive thing that showed the Sarlacc pit. It had Jabba's sail barge, but it was multi-level, so you could go under the ground and see what it looked like under the ground, you know, the Sarlacc pit with all its spiky teeth and its tongue. And everything was going on. Lando was hanging down and Han Solo was there. And, you know, and then the back of the sail barge was cut so you could see inside the sail barge. And there's Princess Leia strangling Jabba. And it was just, you could stand there for hours and just look at it and go, wow, that's amazing.
And of course, we have to acknowledge, you know, as you said, hours, you know, days, weeks of work. This is somebody's life. You know, it's like owning a Harley or deciding to be a vegan. It's a lifestyle choice at this point.
Well, and these people are keeping their I used to know a guy who here in Austin who was incredibly big on Legos, and what he did, he built these amazing sets and he built these life-size figures. But he had all his Legos. He had a room in his house. It was his Lego room. And he didn't just have them all in a bio waste bag tossed in with every color. He had drawers, pull out drawers, sorted. And every drawer had a different color, sorted by color, sorted by number of dots. You know, I need a number 6 black right here. Whoop, you know, it was stunning. It's like, oh my God. You know,
I've got a friend of mine that at a major corporation, they had an extra desk that wasn't assigned to anyone. And they've turned it into a putting green on the ground, but all the U-shaped desk and all the drawers and everything like that are all for Legos, so people can go over there and build Legos during work.
Jeebus. Wow. Yeah, you know, God bless him. That's it's still oddly soothing to play with them, you know. Oh,
there's something tactilely pleasant about holding two pieces together and click, you know.
The click. Yeah.
And even more so, doing all that, and then you've got two halves of a Star Destroyer, the massive Lego Star Destroyer that they make. That's the two halves are held together by magnets. That's a click.
Really?
That's a click. Wow.
I did not know that. I've never had the Star Destroyer, so I don't know that.
One of my coworkers on the help desk back when I worked for Shell had his entire length of his desk was a Star Destroyer, because of course, you know, on the help desk we don't use most of the desk space. So
right. That is stunning. And then I think that the Lego, as Mark said earlier, they've now become so huge. In fact, I believe that, if I'm not mistaken, that Lego has replaced Ferrari as the world's most powerful brand in February. I kid you not, in February 2015, Lego replaced Ferrari as the world's most powerful brand.
That's amazing.
2015.
And when did the movie come out?
The Lego movie? Yeah. Well, you know, even before we get to the Lego movie, I think we should talk about the idea that Lego started to do these grand adventure sets and these big themes, but then took those themes and adventure sets and created their own sort of storylines. I think Lego really likes to have their own characters and their own storylines. For example, like Ninjago or Bionicle. Mm-hmm. And the Bionicle sets were a different type of Lego. They weren't the traditional minifigs. They were larger very cool ball jointed, socketed type of figure characters, and they made up these incredible mythologies about these characters, and they were very let's say Japanese sounding names, and they were mystic and ancient. There were masks, and they were all Makuta, and they're finding the underwater mask, and they had to get the power of life and the energy whatever. Very complex storyline, and once you got into it, as my son was, you were in it. You had to get it all. You had to get all the characters, and they were all based on elements. There were fire elements and earth elements and air elements, and they joined together to battle the evil. It was an amazing storyline, and so complex, the Bionicle systems. But I loved the way that they stood, the way that they moved. They reminded me so much of old toys with those ball joint arms and fists yeah. that could hold weapons and heads. You could do a lot with a ball jointed neck, as people who play with toys can tell you. You sure. can add a tilt to a head. You can look up. You can look down. There's a lot of emotion that could come from playing with a toy that has got a ball jointed neck.
Yeah.
And Bionicles were very cool. They had some amazingly cool Bionicles.
Yeah, I think that the there's the license stuff, which of course they have to pay for, which mm-hmm. is why your Star Wars stuff is more expensive. But the stuff that they do themselves is not as expensive, and I don't think it's necessarily better. But I do think that it's more creative,
yeah.
because they're not serving a master,
they're
right?
Not restricted.
Yeah, exactly. They can kind of do what they want, and so I think that. Serves them well with Ninjago, and with the other the series that they're like the pirates and the
yeah.
you know, all that kind of the Wild West. That stuff is fun, you know. And to me, that's the biggest playability I feel. You know, nothing against crossing the genres at all, but I think you can, you know, the guy on the horse. Can be in a ton of different adventures, and as much as you can put an X-wing in the Wild West, it's kind of more fun to create your own stuff, and the Lego lines like that do a really good job. I agree that the Ninjago, I think it moves away from the minifigures a little bit, mm-hmm. but I was always impressed with how those things came together. You know, I admire that collectibility.
No,
and that,
no pun intended.
No, no. Or actually, maybe pun intended.
Yeah, maybe
but
so.
But the Ninjago, hey, hand me some of those black pieces. I'm working on Aaron's beard. Well, actually, you know what? Take it back. Hand me some of those gray pieces. I'm working on Aaron's beard.
Well, if you mix them up. Yeah, you gotta blend them. Yeah.
A little salt and pepper.
And things that never got licensed, there are whole groups out there that figure out how to make something and put the plans online for something that was never licensed in Lego. Right. For instance... Eurobricks owns the Flash Gordon franchise. So the Voltan thing that we're using as a basis for Aaron was actually community sourced. So
oh,
we're going to have
a
community sourced Voltan Aaron.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
I was wondering. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I thought you jammed that up yourself. That's pretty amazing. Huh?
There are all kinds of different playability issues that I think Lego can help with. I mean, there's no limit. In fact, I believe it was, I want to say about 10 years ago, that they started really pushing the idea of mixing and matching your characters. And you know, X-Wings in the Wild West is one thing, but then they literally had TV commercials showing Chewbacca and Superman and, you know, a cowboy going and doing these types of things. And they were very much about your imagination has no limits.
Yeah.
You know, you want to do it, do it. You want to make it, make it. And that, I think, is a lot of the appeal of playing in that Lego world. Who here, I mean, God, I know I did, but I never had it, but I always wanted to have a room, a huge room of nothing but Lego City, created a Lego City with tables upon tables upon tables and different buildings, movie theaters and office buildings and, you know, all that stuff.
What
I could play in the city, you know?
Yes. What I wanted to do, I actually figured out that that if you had a relatively square or even a rectangular room, you could use cafeteria tables, and it's literally edge every wall with cafeteria tables, and so you basically be in the center, you know,
yes.
playing through. And then the extra part that would be the coolest part was if you spaced it just right, you could space a bridge between the two wall sides, and so you could literally make an H out of your out of your city, and but of course then you'd have to keep crawling under,
just duck down underneath it. But then you have this gigantic room of a city, and what do you do with it? Well, then the Marvel superhero Lego figures come out, and you can have Spider-Man swinging through the city, and the Vulture is on the other side of the city, so he's got to get there.
I thought you were about to say you could recreate the Avengers and cause mass destruction.
Also an option. The Chitauri could come in and start destroying things. I mean, there's no limits. So one of the largest Lego sets commercially produced was a minifig scaled edition. And I don't know, maybe Mark, Mickey, maybe you had this, or maybe you know, it's recent. It was released in 2007. It was the minifig scaled edition of the Millennium Falcon. Oh, it was literally scaled to minifigure, gigantic Millennium Falcon, and I've seen this, and it's gorgeous. I know, right? Right? You just want to go, oh, it's the Millennium Falcon, and just that. Even if you own no other Legos, just to have the Millennium Falcon like that would be awesome. And it contained 5,195 pieces.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was the largest one, but it was surpassed apparently by a 5,922 piece Taj Mahal. And minifig scale Taj Mahal. So it's a scale on these things, right?
A little Ozzy Osbourne.
We don't want that. Wow. No, yeah, the scale is fun, because even at the size of the minifigs, some of that stuff gets ugly. You know, I mean, yeah real quick. I never saw the Millennium Falcon live. But I was watching a documentary on South Park, and who's the blonde? Is the blonde Trey or Matt? Trey.
Trey.
Trey is the blonde. Trey apparently plays with Legos when he's not writing on episodes or directing. And they have a shot in his office. He has it boxed. He hasn't opened it up yet, but it's a minifigure scale Death Star.
It's a beautiful thing.
And I never saw that. And I was like, oh, why didn't you build that? Come on. He's like, I'm saving it. Oh, save Schmave. You crack that open. Yes.
Well, many a Christmas, we got the Batcave, the Lego Batcave, which is just an amazing set. And now they've launched into the 1966 Batman sets. So, you know, you have the 66 Batmobile and the 66 Batcave with a bat boat. And I mean, it is whatever your imagination can think of. And of course, licensing, it helps, I think, in some way to recognize the cool playability of a Jack Sparrow minifig and a Batman minifig and put them together and go, hey, look how cool this is. Oh, yeah. One thing that we did, my son and I, we got a kick out of when the Lego movie came out, we got the main character for the Lego movie that Chris Pratt voices. And we put him with a minifig of Star-Lord, who Chris Pratt voices, and another and a minifig from the Jurassic Park or Jurassic World that Chris Pratt also is. And we had them all together. And we had this little conversation between them, like, you know, you have an amazing voice. You're a very handsome man yourself. You know,
that's great.
Emmett, the character from the movie. Yeah. It's very cool, and I think that a lot of celebrities are thrilled when they get a minifigure. They go, "Wow, look, this is me in a minifigure."
Yeah, no.
Who played Legolas in Lord of the Rings?
Orlando Bloom.
Orlando Bloom. He took a Lego minifigure of himself as Legolas, and he popped off the bottom part of it, and he said, "Look, I'm a Lego legless Legolas."
And then the internet went wild with it and added more and more and more stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, it's just fun stuff. So Lego, wow, great stuff. Now I think we can look at their other media output, because the toys speak for themselves. The toys have playability, the toys have staying power. Well, what did Lego do next?
Games. Games came they started with there was video games and yep. Board games, but and the board games were fun, but the video games were the one.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The video games I knew about. I didn't know about the board games.
Yeah, they were kind of cool. They were sort of a little offshoot thing. I dug it for what it was. But the video games were the ones where they started, you know, the component being that, you know, if you had to solve the puzzle on the that was, you know, to get to the next screen, you had to dig and find and build and, you know, construct and
break
then,
up
you know,
other things to
yeah.
get the pieces.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's been that essential piece of gameplay, you know, is yeah. we're gonna break up the existing stuff
and the
reconfigure, humor. Rebuild, and then slide it over and go to the next screen. And the first one I ever played, well, frankly, was Star Wars, you know. Yeah. That was the first one that got me that had me interested enough to play it. Now I had seen prior to this, the stop motion animated clips that people had done. You know, right. there was some guy that was doing the Bible with Lego figures.
Yes.
And that was very very good because it was very straightforward too. It wasn't, you know, there was nothing hinky about it. We're just going to do it with Lego figures, you know.
Yeah, they did the Eddie Izzard Darth Vader
yeah.
in the cafeteria.
Right. Yeah, and there was a lot of YouTube creativity, you know, with these sort of short stop motion things. And I think I don't speak for Lego, but it strikes me as telling that in the Lego games, as soon as they could, they started putting scenes in between the gameplay that mirrored some of those little short pieces that people have been yep. doing.
Yeah.
You know, almost like reclaiming it a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah.
Like,
or
yeah,
calling you know, out.
Yeah. Or let us do some of this. And right. so,
and they did it well. Some of those, I think they were, gosh, I want to say that they had Lego Star Wars. Obviously they did Lego, Indiana Jones. They had Lego Batman. They had Lego Pirates of the Caribbean, and they yeah. did, you know, all the movies,
Harry
all
Potter.
The different Harry Potter. Yes. Lego Harry Potter was always for, and they did the DC and they did Marvel, Lego mm-hmm. Marvel superheroes. We had them all on the Wii. That was our big thing, playing the Lego games on the Wii. And in their evolution, it was interesting because at first they didn't speak. There were no yeah. voices. So the characters right. just made noises like, which was adorable, you know?
Yeah.
Then they started putting in voices and they started actually talking and speaking, which, you know, to me lost a little bit of the charm, but it was yeah. still good. You know, to have the play the Lego Pirates of the Caribbean and have your Lego Jack Sparrow digging in the sand for, you know, the treasure and the goal that he's got to get or the pieces that he has to put together to make this thing. And he's just going, I just thought that was wonderful. It was very fun.
I personally preferred the non-verbal yeah. Legos myself. Yeah, yeah. Especially where the Star Wars was concerned, because honestly, I got the scripts memorized. You don't need to tell me what goes here. I know what goes right. here. I know the dialogue by heart. But it was more interesting for me to have them kind of tweak it and do it as a pantomime, you know.
If we could get Mark Hamill to do it, all of Luke's lines in a Joker voice.
Yeah, right.
It would be surreal as hell.
I would like to see them kind of go back to that. But actually, you know, the genie's out of the bottle now.
Oh yeah.
So you can't put it back in. But that was part of the fun of what ended up being the Lego movie, mm-hmm. Because you had all these different voices coming together from all these different sets. And probably the Lego movie was, I think, the thing that really catapulted the brand into a sort of pop culture subconsciousness. No, you know, everybody said there's going to be a Lego movie. And of course, you know, there'd been TV shows and animated series, you know, anyways, but nobody really understood, like, why are you doing a Lego movie? And why is it called the Lego movie? Like, it, you know, no, right. it was a head scratcher until people went and watched it. And it became just this awesome, you know, the thing about the movie that's the best is the third act.
Yes.
You know, and the big reveal. And
if you haven't seen it, go watch it.
Yeah. As much as I want to talk about it, I think we probably shouldn't spoil it, just on the off chance that there's four people out there who haven't seen it, who maybe just got back from a trip to the moon or have just come up from a deep slumber in the Catskill Mountains.
Come on, Rip Van Winkle, get onto it.
Yeah. But that was the movie where you saw where I saw all of these different things interacting with one another, you know, Batman interacting with the girl Lego sets, interacting with the construction sets, you know,
it was Unikitty, which is a combination of just different stuff.
Yeah. It was this weird, it was sort of like Lego's greatest hits, but it occurred to me that they're in every part of popular culture now. They've become the understructure of this stuff because you really aren't a thing until Lego makes a game out of you.
Yeah, that's true. But they did a really good job in taking what we talked about earlier in the podcast about mixing and matching characters.
Yes.
Mixing and matching. And they played – the movie is what if you had this world and you could play with – and here comes Millennium Falcon. Millennium Falcon pulls up and Batman's talking to Lando Calrissian. You know, it's like, hey, brother, where'd you get that sweet space cape? You know, and it's they have these interchanges and you've got this beautiful Gandalf standing next to Dumbledore and they're having a conversation and it's brilliant. And then there's even some sound effects that children make when they play with,
yes.
You know, brrr, you know, little, you hear little vocal sound effects in the movie. Well, I'm not going to spoil the ending, but yes, they took all of this playability and they brought it to life on the screen
unlike the games and the animated shows and everything, which have fluid motion, they did it like the stop motion animated YouTube videos.
Right.
So even though it's computer generated, it's designed to look like somebody took all these Legos and are moving them around like stop motion animation.
Yes.
So it has a completely different feel from the other stuff.
Right. Their arms didn't like bend weirdly. I mean, they moved like Legos. So they just went up and down, you know, and their little hands turned side to side. If they were going to comb their hair, they take off the messy hair and then put on the other hair, you know. they didn't run a brush through their hair because they couldn't. There was no brush. They just changed their hair, you know.
It was a very fun, you know, the idea of respecting the physics of the Legos, while at the same time, you know, when he reaches behind him and pulls out a walkie-talkie, that's the size of him. You know, it's just is what it is.
Did you guys ever see the Star Wars shorts that they did on Cartoon Network, the Lego Star Wars shorts, and they were doing a lot of fun with them. And again, the irreverence was there, but one of my favorite moments in that was Palpatine sitting in a chair. Talking on, we had one screen where he was talking to the Senate and the other screen where he was talking to Darth Vader or he was talking to Darth Maul, and he would switch his face. He would change his, he'd spin his head around and be Palpatine over here and then switch over here and go, and then go over here and go.
Yeah, and the cop in the Lego movie doing the same thing was one of my favorite characters.
Yes. Liam Neeson's good cop, bad cop.
Yes.
The Lego Batman movie continues this tradition. As much as the first Lego movie sort of is a celebration of Legos up to this point, Batman was kind of a breakout character in this because, you know, you had Will Arnett doing his grimdark voice. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why they thought they could get an entire movie out of Batman. If someone had asked me if they should do a Batman standalone movie, I'd have said, there's not enough fodder there. But then what they do, they made it a conversation about pop culture Batman. You know,
they did some stuff that we can't reveal because that would be spoilers and the movie's relatively new.
Right. But, no, you're right.
But in the larger sense of the word, you know, this, it's not so much a movie about, it's not so much a Batman movie as it is a movie talking about Batman.
Right, and they managed to capture the Bat family very well.
Yes.
The spirit. If people go, oh, that's not how it happened. No, forget that. it's the spirit of the Bat family. Yeah. They did it exactly right. Batman,
yeah, it's a parody. It's not supposed to be canon.
It was grim and dark and yet won't let anyone in and doesn't want to risk anyone because I got to do this by myself. I mean, that's total Batman, you know. But they do make it a ridiculous level of fun. And yes, they do cross over. In case of some of you who haven't seen the Lego Batman movie, there's crossover. That's all I'm going to say. Characters, you know, you're playing Legos, so enjoy playing Legos, you know.
It's not strictly Batman.
Right, exactly. There's some direct-to-video offerings that they did. The Bionicle movies, of course. There was the Hero Factory, Bionicle stuff. They made a character called Clutch Powers. It was kind of an adventurer, like an Indiana Jones adventurer, and it was a Lego character that they could control, and they made that movie in 2010. But it wasn't until, and Mark, you said this, it became sort of that pop culture thing with the Lego movie. I would argue that while children have always been aware of Lego movies and Lego Batman movies and Lego superhero movies, because that's all it's been out since, 2003, they were doing Lego direct-to-video movies. 2015, 2016, Lego Scooby-Doo, Lego DC Comics, Lego, but all direct-to-video. It wasn't until it came to the big theaters that adults and 20-somethings and generationally it crossed over and became, oh, I remember that 1970s space guy, you know, that they brilliantly brought to life in the Lego movie, Benny. Yeah. They named him Benny, who, you know, and he had the little crack in his helmet, you know, that he was so excited about building a spaceship. And, wasn't until you brought all that in, right? Charlie Day, brilliant portrayal of Benny. But the brought all that together, and then you mix and match them. Yes, you want a pirate? Oh, sure, we can do a pirate. But this pirate's been through a whole hell of a lot, so he's basically pieced together with parts of a Lego ship to make this giant mechanical pirate, you know, and he's a character. And then there, it's just... everything about that movie and the humor, the writing, the way it nods and nudges and winks with sound effects and sayings. You guys, if you haven't seen the Lego movie, it's brilliant. And of course, they're making a sequel, obviously, to the Lego movie. So that should be coming out, I want to say in 2019, the Lego movie sequel is due to come out.
Yeah, I find it interesting that the Lego movies, they take their time and do over... you know, the mainstream Lego movies. The Batman was put together really quick, but because of spastic, the fact that the characters move more jerky doesn't matter.
Yes, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. And they did that very well. But to bring Will Arnett's Batman character out of the Lego movie and give him his own movie was a stroke of genius because, yes, he was the stand. He was the breakout character. People couldn't stop talking about Will Arnett's Batman, who was equal parts really into himself, you know? Yeah. Because he's Batman, it's going to look really cool, you know? with the sensibility of a child playing with Batman, because Batman's so cool, you know?
And metal.
Metal, you know? Darkness, no parents, you know? But the Lego Ninjago movie is due to be released in 2017.
And looks good.
Yeah, it looks hilariously fun. And the Ninjago, again, my son and I grew up watching Ninjago, playing with Ninjago, and watching the cartoon on Cartoon Network, and then seeing it in the movie screen, we both looked at each other and were like, oh, this looks so good, because it picks up kind of where we left off. We've got a character, Lloyd, who's the son of Garmadon, the evil four-armed monstrosity that they've got, but it's his son, you know, before he became Garmadon, he was kind of a human. Regardless, all this came out in the Cartoon Network TV show. Now we have Lloyd, who's grown up, and he's with the Ninjago guys, and it's this next evolution, the next step, and yet the irreverence is going to be there. You know, oh, I'm sorry, I accidentally butt-dialed you, you know, that kind of thing. The relationship between father and son, although my father is an evil being, a creature, I got to deal with that. That's my dad, you know. Right. I love that the concept behind the Lego Ninjago movie that apparently is going to be with the nice homages to the seriousness of the Ninjago brand that they tried to do, but now we're going to put it in the Lego movie universe where it's not so serious.
Cool yeah. Beans. Yeah. I think, I'm trying to remember when the movie comes out. You know, I just got through playing Lego Batman here at the theater, for me, and we had people come back and watch it, you know, three or four times, which was kind of cool. Let's see, The Ninjago movie is scheduled to be released. It's coming out in September after school starts. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, okay. I figured it'd be next year as a holdover, waiting for the next Lego movie.
Yeah, nope, it's gonna be a mid to late September release. So,
and I've got a special place in my heart for the Lego movie just due to the fact that I never watched The Office, so that was my introduction to Chris Pratt.
Oh, okay,
oh, fun.
Who
wow,
I love
okay.
now because he suddenly right. exploded across everything.
That's right. Jackie Chan has been hired to be the voice of Master Wu, who's the
awesome.
The elderly. Sensei who teaches the Ninjagos, you know, the characters of how to do spin jitsu, which I love the idea of spin jitsu because the Ninjagos, they came with these little spinners, and you could battle each other with these spinners. They would launch. You put their little character in there, put weapons in their hand, and you had arenas, and you literally put the little toys in there and launch it. So it's kind of like a playable game too. And they would spin like tops and smash into each other. And when, you know, the winner would knock the other one off, or finally the other one would pop off. And, hey, I won, you know. So they
now I
want to
combine
that
with
arts.
Inception.
Right.
Oh, it's such a cool concept. And I like – and that's the other thing that the Lego movies do is they never forget what they are. You know, Batman has to teach Robin how to master build. You know, for a couple of things, because he needs to kit bash the gear he needs in order to complete the mission. Right. And man, that's just let's just call it like it is. You know, I mean, so smart.
Oh crap! Here, somebody help me. His beard's falling off.
Oh,
his beard's too mighty for the rest of him.
Well,
we just put some supports underneath. There.
Yeah, you gotta build under and then go out and keep it small.
What color are his eyes? I've never looked him in the eyes. I've been afraid to.
He has the most piercing blue eyes.
Oh, I'm gonna use these clear blue these ice ones then.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And I'm not sure if his eyes are really blue or not, but they seem blue. So
well, they're blue now.
They're blue now.
They're brown, but okay.
I need to take some of the forehead out because I'm going to write a word across the top. It's okay. No, it's good. I'm going to spell it in Legos. It'll be great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting there. And so we're going to piece the pieces of our Aaron life-size figure together at the end of the podcast and then step back, and hopefully we can keep this thing standing here in the Lobot Lounge for years to come.
Oh, I got that all figured out. Don't worry. It's golden. Don't sweat it.
Speaking of golden, nice little segue there.
Thank you.
Scholastic and Golden Books also released a series of Lego inspired stories, both character wise, Lego Movie, Lego City, Lego Pirates, and independent. But there's also a line of Lego books. Going back to Bionicles, they had novels, Bionicle novels for young adult readers.
Novels.
That frankly were a little challenging for adult readers because, you know, when you read them, you're like, what the heck is going on in these Bionicle stories? Some of the short films that they did to advertise the Bionicles, they'd hire popular rock bands to do the soundtracks, and they were just really stunningly beautiful. I think that Lego has – they've gone beyond a bag of, you know, mixed bricks to build a castle that's multicolored. Now they have molded bricks that look like castle walls, and they've got tapestries, and they've got flame pieces, and they've got, you know, you could put together just about anything you like. And if you want to try this, ladies and gentlemen, go find your nearest Lego store. I think every major city has a Lego store. And not only can you buy the pre-made sets, but you can buy in bulk at the Lego store just bags and bags of pieces.
Which is the only way you can put together your Herbert West Reanimator set, because they don't have that license.
They don't make
that.
Yes.
Yet.
Exactly. The, who would have thought there would be a Doctor Who Lego set? I mean,
they made it into one of the games.
The one thing that they have not yet done is they have not yet started to create stuff aimed specifically at their adult fans in the marketplace. And you know, maybe it's okay. Maybe the Lego Cthulhu should only be an internet joke and kind of a funny haha thing, you know, and not something that, that anybody can build.
Maybe, I like the Alderaan set.
Well, maybe, or maybe, you know, the Breaking Bad stuff only needs to be stuff that happens, you know, from somebody else's like kit bash. But I noticed that, that that's the one market that they really haven't tapped into, and that's our friends who are in their 40s and 50s building this stuff just because. So, you know.
Right. Just to have a little Walter White minifig, which you could absolutely kit bash it easily.
And sure.
That's the joy of it. If you want it, go make it. No one's going to stop you. You know, it's not going to be officially licensed, but I think you could do it, you know, with minimal effort.
Paint thinner, just erase the face. And
Well, they have different faces. I mean, you could go to the Lego store and they have these little kiosks almost where you can build a figure. They have a whole section of heads, different faces, a whole section of hats, you know, middles and hands. And you want a hook hand? You want black gloves for his hands? You want whatever. I mean, it's everything. It comes apart. You can piece it together any way you want it to.
Yeah.
And I'm sure at some point somebody's going to be going, well, I've got this 3D printer and they don't make this piece I need.
Yeah. Well, and that's happened. That's what I'm saying. We went at the convention. They're making these tiny little pieces that are custom pieces. And labels, you know, stickers. Like, you want your Superman to have a 50s George Reeves Superman logo? Here it is. Just buy it, and you can erase it with nail polish remover, the original one, and then stick this one on there, and then boom, done.
What's this little red sticker? Oh, that's the red on Superman's pants.
Those are his underwear. Yes. And they make two different. Hey, you wanna give Aaron a hook for a hand?
No, that's a great idea.
We could do that.
Yeah, we could totally do that.
Because we're not building the Voltan wing, so.
No, that's too much. That's too much. They wouldn't support themselves.
So there were many offshoots of Legos. Briefly, I want to touch on that. Lego went after legally because basically Lego invented this stuff, and so different companies decided to jump on the bandwagon. Beijing made a company called Coco Bricks, and Coco Bricks were obviously just an offshoot of Legos. But I think they were delicious. But the most, obvious one would be Mega Bloks.
Yeah.
And Mega Bloks had licenses as well. They had Pirates of the Caribbean. They had Halo. They have a very popular Halo series. Their figures are not mini figures as such, but they have articulation and ball joint heads, little tiny arms and legs. But the building, the construction building sets are essentially Lego inspired.
Right.
No one would argue that. But the Supreme Court of Canada upheld Mega Bloks' right to sell their product because it was decided that the peg design in the original Lego brick just is a technical function and can't be registered as a trademark. So the doors flew open, and anyone wants to make a cheapy Lego, they can do that with the snap together pieces and their construction design. However, I would argue that when I would build my Mega Bloks Flying Dutchman or Black Pearl, that I used Lego pieces to strengthen the Mega Bloks pieces.
Yeah.
Because Lego pieces have a little bit more tight fit. The Mega Bloks were too hard plastic. Lego had a little give, just a tiny tactile give that you could snap it into place and it would hold fast and firm. The Mega Bloks pieces, a simple touch in some cases, would send the whole thing flying apart.
Yeah.
So I got to argue that while Mega Bloks in some ways were really cool because they had the detail, the Lego had the durability. Lego had the mastery of the actual construction design down. And I'm not afraid to say it. I used Lego pieces to strengthen up my ships.
Good to know.
There you go.
I never played with any hybrids. Well, it's okay. We're kind of doing that with this Aaron project anyway. So
I got the eyes to move. By the way, they can follow you around the room now.
Just like the real Aaron.
That's not going to be good.
Just like the real one. That's awesome. Can we? Are we ready to put this thing together? Because I have parts and pieces. I think we can all kind of fit him in. So why don't you bring the center part up, and then we'll see what we got here.
Right there.
Yeah, okay,
right
hold
there.
On. And
this thing's huge.
Yeah, it's kind of big. Right. E M E T. Got it. Okay. I've got Emmett on the forehead.
Nice.
And so if this goes well, he will be a brick golem.
Oh, is that a good idea? Is that really a good idea?
We'll find out in just a second.
Okay. All right. Well, this could go horribly wrong, folks. We could have a rampaging brick, a Lego brick Aaron Golem running
about
the
lounge. Then we'd have him versus Maximilian. We need a YouTube channel.
I just wanted to give us an edge here, and I think he won't actually rampage, because if he does, you know, the first thing he hits, he'll break his arm off. So
that's true. We could just take him apart.
Yeah, this will be okay, I think.
All right, so here we go. Our Aaron. Wow, that's pretty impressive, actually. Look at that.
The eyes really do folly everywhere.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. You don't think this is going to go to Aaron's head, do you?
Oh, no. No. Okay. How could it? No, it'll be fine. Okay.
We're building a statue, essentially, to him.
Everything is awesome.
Yes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid that our time is up here at the Lobot Lounge. We finished our Aaron Lego monstrosity / masterpiece, and we've had a good time talking about Lego. Go out and pick up some Legos, for heaven's sakes, and let your imagination run wild. There's no limits to what you can build, and I highly encourage co-play. If you have children, play with them. If you have a wife or girlfriend, play with them. Legos, they're multi-generational. You can play and have a good time. Yes. Parting words, Mr. Finn.
Yeah, if you're still playing video games, check out the video games. They are awesome. Pick a video game, a Lego video game that is something that you like. If it's a franchise, I guarantee you'll have a good time. And see the movies. They're great.
Absolutely. Mickey.
Remember, kids, it's very important that even though it may seem like a good idea to recreate the Cask of Amontillado with your siblings, it's really, really bad.
But you could recreate it in scale with Legos.
Yes, really just could. Not in real life.
Right, right. You could actually brick up a man in a Lego wall and have him beg for light. That's the fun of Legos. Lego Aaron, any parting words?
Everything is awesome.
That's pretty creepy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Joseph Fotinos reminding you, as always, that Lego Red Skull lives.
Gentlemen Nerds is a production of Cloak & Dagger Studios, LLC. Music by Ben Gibbs. The sound editor is Michael Ashley Finn. Web design and cloakanddaggerstudios.com by Rustix Interactive.
Promotional consideration by the Lincoln Log Retirement Fund.
Hey, did his head just turn?
I'm leaving.
Everything is awesome.